How many want the Lord to rain on you?
Rain on my fear. Rain on my fear. Holy Spirit, is that what you want tonight? Holy Spirit, rain on my fear. What I asked him one morning at 4:30, I said, rain on my field. No one was around, just me and Daddy God. I had something on my heart. I said, Holy Spirit, Melissa needs rain on my. Come on, help me sing it.
Rain on my fear. Good evening. This is Pastor Brenda Spence coming to you from the Now Network broadcast. It is truly an honor. The psalmist declared, "Let everything that has breath praise ye the Lord. Make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands. Oh, bless his name." This is a week of celebration. We are celebrating the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Christ this week. This is a day that's really official as being the Passover week. And today we're going to take a look at the Passover, and we're going to connect the Passover with Christ. I know you're excited. I know, because I am excited today, for this is a day the Lord has made, and we shall rejoice and be glad in it. My title today is Christ and the Passover. Oh, yes, I said Christ and the Passover. That is my title today. I am so excited about this teaching. Next week, we're going to talk about the power of the resurrection. Oh, my goodness, the power of the resurrection. So I'm encouraging many of you that are listening today, please get your Bible, get your pen and your paper out, and come and study with me, write down notes. You know, God wants to speak to you in his word today. Oh, hallelujah. This is a celebration time. You know, we celebrate Christ every day, but every year there is a week that are put aside for the remembrance of what Christ did when he went to the cross and died for us, for our sins. He died for me and you, and for that we all should be honored. Now, in order to discuss Christ in the Passover, we first have to understand the origin of the Passover, and that is my job today, to help you to understand the origin of the Passover and how it connects to our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, today. We honor you, Lord. We thank you that you are Jehovah Jireh, the God that provides our needs, O God. We thank you that you are Jehovah Rahi, O God, the Lord our great shepherd, O God. We thank you, Lord, that you are Jehovah Rapha, the God that heals. Lord, we thank you for your word. Lord, you said in your word that your word does not return void. And Lord, we thank you. We thank you as we are celebrating this week, God. We bless your name, God. We give you praise and we give you honor. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Amen. So in order to discuss Christ in the Passover, we first have to understand the origin of the Passover. In the book of Exodus, when the Israelites were held captivity under the oppression of an Egyptian pharaoh, the Lord sent a servant named Moses. Yes, the Lord sent a deliverer. He sent Moses to deliver the Israelites out of bondage. Moses was a faithful servant of God. Now, you have to understand that I didn't say that Moses was perfect, but he was a servant of God, and God called him to rescue his people out of slavery or rescue them out of captivity. In the 10th and 11th chapter of Exodus, you can read that, where God called Moses to rescue the children out of bondage. The Lord sent 10 plagues. Now, the Lord sent 10 plagues upon Egypt. After the ninth plague, the Bible said that Pharaoh still did not release the Israelites. Why? Why did not Pharaoh release the Israelites after the ninth plague? Because his heart was hardened. His heart was callous towards God's people. And because of this, God had to show Pharaoh that he is the only, hallelujah, true God. He is the only true God. He is the God of Israel, the one true God. He had to show Pharaoh that he controls all things. One of the reasons why the Israelites went into bondage, not because Pharaoh had the control. It was due to their rebellion to God. Let me say that again. It wasn't that Pharaoh had the control that caused the Israelites to go into bondage. It was due to their rebellions towards God. So God allowed them to go into slavery because of their disobedience, because of their idol worshiping. Oh, hallelujah. And the book of Exodus, it says that God heard the cry of his people. And because of that, he sent a deliverer. He sent a deliverer. Okay, so we have to understand that some of the plagues that God sent was the same deities that the Egyptians worshiped. They worshiped the frog gods, the Nile river gods. They worshiped the locust god. And so the same thing that the Egyptians worshiped, God, listen here, allowed the same gods that they worshiped to afflict them. Oh, hallelujah. The same thing they worship, God caused that same thing they worship to afflict them. Now, this should hit someone today. The same thing that you worship, the same thing that you have given all your time and money to, now is the very thing that is causing you pain. Somebody didn't say worship, idol worshiper. It's causing you tears. The same thing that you have worshiped now is afflicting you. The Bible says that that our God is a jealous God. He is godly jealous over us. Exodus 20:2 says, one of the Ten Commandments is thou shalt have no other gods before me. So God told Moses in Exodus 11:1, I will strike Pharaoh and the land of Egypt with one more blow. Now, this is after the ninth plague. God was about to send the tenth plague. The tenth plague was that God would cause death to come upon every firstborn son, even the cattle of the firstborn in Egypt would die. This is the tenth plague. God was determined, oh, I don't know who I'm speaking to today. God was determined to rescue the Israelites out of bondage. That God loves us so much that God was determined to rescue us, oh, hallelujah, out of sin. He was determined. Some of us, God has to rescue us from drugs and alcohol. He had to rescue us from some relationship. He had to go into the crack house, the jails, under the freeway, the streets, to rescue us. God would do anything. Oh, someone need to get excited. God would do anything to rescue the people that God loved you so much. The Bible said, while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. And God commended his love towards us. And while we were sinning, Christ died for us. God called us out of sin. God rescued us out of bondage. He rescued us out of slavery. Many of us were slavery to sin. Slavery to sinful habits, worshiping other idols, worshiping other gods. And God rescued our eternal life. The plagues would come upon Egypt, or the Egyptian would not the Israelites. It would come upon the Egyptians, but not the Israelites. You know, you can be in the midst of all this type of stuff going on and still have peace. You'll still have joy, worry-free. Why? Because your God is coming to rescue you. Oh, hallelujah. In the midst of all this stuff going on, God will still rescue you. He will still allow you to have peace in the midst of the storm. The storm may be rocking. You may have some waves, and the boat might seem like it's going to turn over. But God will give you peace. You might be going through all type of things right now. The enemy might be coming up against your home, coming up against your children. But God said, in the midst of this, God said, I am giving you peace. Peace. Why? Because God is your rescuer. Oh, hallelujah. God gave the Israelites specific instructions to follow. Because anytime God is about to rescue or deliver you, you must follow the instructions to the T. Following the instruction determines your freedom. It determines your victory, oh hallelujah, and your liberation. Let me say that again. Following the instruction determines your freedom, your victory, and your liberation. God said to Moses, this Laszlo, Pharaoh would be so eager to get rid of you that he would force you all to leave. Exodus 11 and 2 says, tell the Israelites, men and women, to ask their Egyptian neighbors for articles of silver and gold. When they left Egypt wealthy. That's why they had a lot of gold to build that golden calf when Moses was up in Mount Sinai getting the Ten Commandments. When he came down, they had built a golden calf. They got the gold from Egypt. Okay? God had told them, hey, you're not gonna lack for anything. He said, go and tell them to give you silver and gold before you get ready to go. Every Israelite family was to choose a lamb or a young goat for a sacrifice. That male sheep or goat had to be 1 year old with no defect, no cleft, no cleft palate, no hernias, no disease, no inverted eyelid, no defect. The animal had to be a sacrificial lamb without defect. We have to follow the instructions, saints. We have to follow the instruction. If we want to be liberated, if we want to be free and stay free, we must follow the instructions of God. And what is the instruction of God? The Word of God. The B-I-B-L-E, the Bible. If we follow the instructions, we would not fall short. We would not fall. We would not fall if we follow the instructions. I'm telling you, if we follow the instructions, the errors that you think that you're weak in, you will stand. Oh, you're stronger than you think you are. Oh, you can do all things through Christ who strengthens you today. You're stronger. Oh, because Christ is our sacrificial lamb. Don't that sound familiar? Because Jesus was without any defect. 1 Peter 1:18 and 19 says, for as much as you know that you were not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold from your vain conversation received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious, oh, hallelujah, blood of Christ as a lamb without blemish and without spot. He was our sacrificial lamb. 1 Peter 2 and 22 says, who committed no sin, nor was any deceit found in his mouth. He was without defect. 2 Corinthians 5:21 says, he made him who knew no sin to be sin on our behalf, so that we might become the righteousness of God in him. John the Baptist announced in John 1:29, behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sins of the world. He recognized that Jesus was the sacrificial lamb that had to shed his blood that we may live. He knew it. John was a forerunner for Christ. He was to prepare the people's hearts for Christ. He knew the purpose of Jesus. The head of the household was in charge of taking care of the goat or sheep, making sure none of the bones of the animals was broken. Here is another prophecy of Jesus in John 19:33. When a soldier came to Jesus and saw that he was dead already, they broke not his leg. They broke not his leg. Now, God told him, do not break any of the legs of the lamb or the goat. And now we see that, and the Bible says that Jesus' leg was not broken. It says that when the soldier came to Jesus and saw that he was dead already, they broke not his leg. They broke not his leg. And in verse 36 in 19th chapter of John, it says, For these things were done that the scripture shall be fulfilled. A bone of him shall not be broken. The unblemished sacrificial lamb. The Bible says at twilight, the animal must be slaughtered, the goat or the sheep must be slaughtered, and the blood of the animal must be smeared on the sides and top of the door frames of the house where they ate the animal. Those that didn't have the blood on their doorposts, death would fall on that house. And Exodus 12, 8 to 13, it says that that same night, they must roast the meat over a fire and eat it along with bitter salad greens and bread made without yeast. Do not eat any of the meat raw or boiled in the water. The whole animal, including the internal organs, must be roasted over a fire. Do not leave any of it until the next morning. Instructions: burn whatever is not eaten before morning. These are your instructions for eating this meal. Be fully dressed, wear your sandals, and carry your walking stick in your hand. Eat the meal with urgency, for this is the Lord's Passover. On that night, I will pass through the land of Egypt and strike down every firstborn son and firstborn male animal in the land of Egypt. I will execute judgment against all the gods of Egypt, for I am the Lord. But the blood on your doorpost will serve as a sign marking the house where you are staying. When I see the blood, I will pass over you. This plague of death will not touch you when I strike the land of Egypt. He's telling them what to do. He's telling them if they follow the instructions, they will live. But if they don't follow the instructions, their death would come to their home. And every year, this was a law that they had to follow and to commemorate. Okay, so you see, there was instruction. Number one, their cloak had to be tucked in, their belt. Number two, sandals had to be on their feet. Number three, their staff in their hand. Someone needs to say, I'm ready to go. I'm ready to go. They believed God that they was free without physically experiencing it. They wasn't free when God told them to prepare themselves. Physically, they was not free. But you have to see your situation the way God sees it. You may be sick in your body, but God sees you whole. Now, they didn't see themselves still in slavery. They seen themselves free. They was ready. They was ready. They knew I'm free. They was already packed. They had already ate the meal. They had already had their staff in their hands. They was just waiting on the okay from God. They said, I'm free. We leaving here. We are getting out of Egypt. And so many may be sick in their body, but God sees you whole. You may be depressed, but God sees you having peace. I'm here to tell you, God sees you having peace. You may be without a job, but God sees you working. God sees you. You have to see yourself, and God sees you. Point blank. Speak what God says and not to your situation. Okay, again, speak what God says and not to your situation, not about your situation. If God says you're whole, if God says you have peace, if God says that he's going to, you hold on to God's word. Yearly, they would celebrate and tell the story about Egypt and how God had delivered them from their oppressors. They had to tell this testimony when God delivered them. We asked the children, and this is what I was, what came to me as I was studying. We asked the children of God have something to celebrate yearly. Yes, we do. I was reminded that our own conversion is a celebration. Yes, it is. We should remind ourselves and celebrate when God called us out of darkness and into his marvelous light. That is a day, a yearly celebration that we should be celebrating when our conversion took place. Light and so he rescued us out of the hands of the enemy. He rescued us out of the consuming and the enemy that was going to destroy us. The Bible says he comes to kill, steal, and destroy. The enemy does not fight fair. He will use you to do his job, and then he will destroy you. That's how the enemy fights. He doesn't fight fair. And so God delivered us from that enemy. He did. We have something, saints, to celebrate. That's why we tell our testimony. That is a time that we reflect back on what God had done for us. Oh, my goodness. I can just think about how I was just lost, just totally lost, and God rescued me. And then I can begin to start telling people about the testimony and how he delivered me from this and how he delivered me in my conversion. Oh, my goodness. I would never forget that. That is something that we should celebrate. The Passover is symbolic of what Jesus done for us. He saw that we was held in captivity to this world and sin, and he came to deliver us. Yes, he did. This festival, this Seder, was held for 7 days. Our Lord Jesus was crucified in the New Testament during the observance of the Passover. He was crucified, and that's in the book of Mark, the 14th chapter, 12th verse. He was during his crucifixion, during the time of his crucifixion. It was during the Passover. It was during the Passover. The week of the Passover, we see Jesus triumphant entries humble, riding on in the town on a donkey, a king, hallelujah, humble. He was just so humble, right? On a donkey, he could have had chariots. He could have had horses. But this is what he decided that he was going to ride on because he was a humble servant. And so Jesus knew his time was near. It was a few things. I want to read that. It was a few things that took place in the week of the Passover during the time that Jesus was crucified. His triumphant entry, number one, the Lord's Supper took place and a feet washing. Jesus praying in the Garden of Gethsemane. He was arrested, betrayed by Judas with a kiss. A soldier ear got cut off and our Lord restored it back. All these things happened during the Passover, during the time of the Passover. Many things happened during the week of the celebration of the Passover. Instead of a lamb being a sacrificial lamb, Jesus became that sacrifice for me and you, the sacrifice. The sacrifice had to take place. The sacrifice had to take place. You know, I'm reminded when the Passion of Christ. Oh my goodness! Every time I see that movie, I just boohoo and cry. But it reminds me of what Christ did for me. It reminds me, and I think that we are, you know, whenever that we're going through something, we are to be reminded of what God done for us. We need to buy that DVD, buy it, look at it, and be reminded. Not nothing that we have done. It's but what he has done. 1 Corinthians 5 and 7 says, for even Christ, our Passover, is sacrificed for us. It's not about us. It's not about what we've done, but it's what he's done. Hebrews, the 9th chapter, 11 through 14, I want to read. So Christ has now became the high priest over all the things that have come. He has entered that greater, more perfect tabernacle in heaven, which was not made by human hands and is not part of this created world, with his own blood, not the blood of goats and calves. No more sacrificing blood of goats and calves anymore. He was an artificial, he was the lamb. He was the perfect lamb. He was not artificial, but he was the perfect lamb of God. He was perfect. He was perfect with his own blood, not the blood of goats and calves. He entered the most holy place once for all time and secured our redemption under the Old Testament. The blood of goats and bulls and the ashes of a young cow could cleanse people's bodies for ceremony and purity. Just think how much more the blood of Christ will purify our conscience from sinful deeds so that we can worship the living God. For by the power of the eternal spirit, Christ offered himself to God as a perfect sacrifice for our sins, people. He was a perfect sacrifice. He was. You know, and so when we don't need any more sacrifice, lamb. He was a sacrifice. He was. You know, the Bible talks about how many died through Adam, but all was made alive in Christ. We are made alive in Christ. We have been baptized into his burial. We have been baptized into his burial. When we rise from baptism, one of the things that we do when we submerge ourselves in water, we are the Bible talks about how they that are joined with the Lord is one spirit. We become one spirit. We have died to our own way when we submerge in the water of baptism, and when we are emerged, well, we are living in a newness of life. We are living in a new life. We are saying that we are no longer part of sin. We are no longer doing the things the world does, but we're doing things the way Christ is doing things, but he has said in his word. We have to understand that Christ, everything is symbolic. From the Passover lamb, Christ was the perfect Passover lamb. He was the lamb without blemish. We need to understand that. We need to understand the meaning of Passover and how do Christ fit into all of this. He was the lamb that they slayed, the Israelites slayed and smeared the blood on the doorpost. The lamb that they sacrificed, Christ was that sacrificial lamb. He took the place of that sacrificial lamb. And so we no longer have to offer up sacrificial lambs anymore, because Christ, when he died. He doesn't have to die again. He was a perfect sacrifice. And because of that, his sacrifice, his life, God accepted it on our behalf. And so it gives us the right. I'm not going to use the word right, but it gives us privilege. I always want to be humble because we don't have the right really for anything, you know. But it's a humble experience that God has adopted us into the royal family of God. And for that, we all should be honored. So during this week, prepare your mind, prepare your heart. I know in this time, many people do communion. You should, you know, as often as you do that, the Bible says, do this in the remembrance of Jesus. Remember what he done for you. Remember that he went to the cross. Remember that, you know, that he died on the cross, that he was persecuted for us. Remember that remember that he rose on the third day. You know, and so we have to know without any resurrection, it would be in the Christianity. He rose. And guess what, saints? He's coming back. He is coming back. And so we, as saints, we need to just be ready and be obedient to do what he has said, to go out there and preach the word and make disciples. That's what he has told us to do. I think it's in Matthew 28. And so I pray that you all enjoy your Passover week, your Resurrection Sunday. And remember, you know, we have to teach our children as well that it's not about bunnies and rabbits. Okay, so many, you know, even with my kids, I bought them baskets, but my kids knows what, you know, Resurrection Sunday is about. They know. They know what it's about. So I just want you to be blessed and stay tuned for next week. I'm going to be teaching on the power of the resurrection. Okay? God bless.